Jude, one chapter, second to the last chapter in your Bible, right before Revelation. Jude, just one chapter, Jude chapter number one. And I do want to say I appreciate the opportunity to be here, Brother Sharp. It's a privilege of mine just to get to be here, get to be over in Knoxville. And last Sunday I was in Johnson City, Tennessee, so I was just glad not to have quite so far of a drive.
Amen.
Amen.
So it was good not to have to leave so early. Amen. It's good,
Amen.
Good to have some friends of mine here tonight from over in the Sevierville area. We went to church together about 8 or 10 years ago, and I appreciate Sandra and all of her crowd coming over, and appreciate my girlfriend Haven coming with me tonight, and Tyler. Appreciate them coming. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes,
Amen.
Sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm born again. I'm heaven bound, heading to the glory town where
Amen.
The devil can't be found by way of the ground or when the trumpet sounds. So don't
Amen.
Get all alarmed and get nervous because new preacher's here and you got
Amen.
Some visitors in the service. Because I promise you, I know these people real good. And I know these good. And they're not going to be alarmed if you shout and say amen and walk a pew if the Lord's in it. Amen.
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 All right. I was thinking a little bit a minute ago about you guys when you were singing that Lighthouse, and it reminded me of an illustration. There was a man one day. He was a captain of the ship, and he was looking into the darkness of the night. And you think about the lighthouse for a minute. He's looking into the darkness of the night, and he could see a faint light in the distance. He could see, and it didn't. He thought it was the lighthouse, I guess. I don't know what he thought. He could see lights in the distance, and immediately he signaled, and he told his promptly returned a message. He said, alter your course 10 degrees north. And there came back over the radio, and the captain was angered when his command had been ignored. And the message said, alter your course 10 degrees,
yeah.
10 degrees to the north. And there was a message kept coming back saying, alter your course 10 degrees south. Alter your course 10 degrees south. And this captain, he got mad. He said, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a captain.
Amen.
And immediately the captain sent a third message after that they had radioed back and said, alter your course 10 degrees south. I'm a seaman third class Jones. Well, this captain, he said, I've outranked you tremendously. He said, don't mouth me is basically what he's telling this boy coming across the radio. I'm the captain. And he said one more time, he said, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a battleship. And third class Seaman Jones radioed back and he said, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a lighthouse.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm glad
Amen.
To know that you
Amen.
Might be the biggest, baddest battleship in the sea, but I'm glad that there's a lighthouse.
Yes, sir.
It'll point us in the right direction.
Yes,
Amen.
Sir.
I thought of that and that illustration as y'all were singing tonight. And you know, there's a lot of times in our life we go through situations and we don't exactly know the outcome as we look into the darkness of the night and we look into the difficulties of the day, and I've kind of been there. I'll give you a little bit of my testimony so y'all won't be so nervous about knowing who I am. But I got born again, saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb by grace through faith when I was 13 years old, 1999, a little old place called Rosmond, North Carolina. They've grown the population big enough now to where they've got two red lights.
Yeah.
So they've really moved up in the world. But I got saved in an old-fashioned gospel tent meeting out in the grass.
Amen.
And I can take you somewhere. It's bigger. They got a big churchyard, but somewhere I think within about a 10 foot by 10 foot square of where the Holy Ghost
yep.
moved in, and I got born again.
Amen.
And I've never been the same. And y'all sung a lot of good songs tonight. And I just like old time religion.
Amen.
That's just what I was born into. That's what I was raised under. My dad's a preacher, and I was raised over in the mountains of western North Carolina, just south of Asheville, and. I got to thinking about that lighthouse and looking into the darkness of the night, not knowing what's going ahead. I got diagnosed this past January the 31st with acute myelogenous leukemia. And I've been battling that, and I've got to go back to the doctor this coming Wednesday, actually, and probably will start chemo again on a week from tomorrow, I'm guessing. But God allowed me to almost get to the point of death. And I went into the hospital on a Friday after the doctor had called and told me that my blood work had come back. and that I was that I had to get to the emergency room, and I had to get to the emergency room right now. And I got to the emergency room, and my girlfriend had come, and she was at work, and she came and picked me up. And by the time we got to the emergency room, I was so sick. And I'd been getting sick over the course of the past several months, on and off. And I'd never been sick in my life. But by the time we got to the hospital, I almost had to just lay on her like a backpack, and her just walk me into the hospital. I couldn't walk on my own strength. And by the time that I got in the hospital and they figured out what was going on and started taking blood and testing everything and going through all that went on with that, they told me that night that I had leukemia, and they didn't know what kind, so they started a lot of tests. And that was on Friday night. And on Sunday morning, on the 31st day of January this year, they diagnosed me with AML, leukemia. And man, I was really sick, and I was almost to the point of death. Actually, they gave me 5 days to live. And I walked in the hospital that night. He told me, he said, I'll be honest with you, he said, I don't even know how you walked in the building. My blood counts were so low. I was just to the point of a brain bleed internally, and all that goes along with leukemia. My blood was 60% leukemia, 60% leukemic when I got there. I didn't even know it. I thought I had a sinus infection, and I was just running a really high fever. But he told me that if I hadn't come in that Friday, I probably wouldn't have lived through the weekend. And there's a whole lot I could tell you that goes along with that story. Back to that several months, I was living in Louisville, Kentucky, and I had just moved to the Knoxville area. But all, through every bit of that and through all that God's done, and of course God did a tremendous, miraculous thing, because Amen. It's been longer than Amen. 5 days since Amen. July, January the 31st. Amen. But I started chemo treatments, and I started going through all kind of things like that. And of course, it hit Facebook, and it went pretty crazy, and I started getting phone calls and texts, and my family did, and Haven did, and everybody from, and it ended up literally going around the world. And I've had people from, I don't even remember, Haven can probably remember better than I can, but from Germany and Ireland and all around the world, people messaging me saying, I don't know you and you don't know me, but I just want to let you know that God puts you on my heart, and I'm praying
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
So if you're wondering if prayer really works, and sometimes I meet people that are through this that have really battled a lot, and sometimes I'm serious. They get to the point to where they wonder if prayer really
That's
does
right.
work
yes,
and whether it don't. But I'm a living testimony and a perfect example that prayer changes things
Amen.
And it changes
Amen.
Things
Amen.
So powerfully that it can save a human being's life. And I
Amen.
Stand before you today, a person who had leukemia, who is now in remission
Amen.
Because of that, and I give all glory and praise and honor
Amen.
To God. Now,
Amen.
I still got a lot of things to deal with, and there's quite a process that'll go on through the rest of the year. But next time you think you're facing a dark and stormy area in your life, and you're heading into the darkness of the night thinking that you're going towards the right lights, sometimes you'll have to hear from the lighthouse that'll tell you to go
Amen.
A different direction.
Yes, sir.
It's like Jonah did when Jonah was in the boat. They threw him out of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
When they threw Jonah out of the boat, Jonah was on a one-way road, buddy.
Yep.
A one-way road to death, he thought.
That's right.
But God knew years and years before
Amen.
Then, and he started
Amen.
Growing a fish for one
Amen.
Specific purpose.
Yes, sir.
It takes a long time to grow a fish big enough to swallow a man. I'm just going
right.
to tell you that. I grew up trout fishing in the mountains, and I've never caught a trout big enough yet that could swallow a man. So I know that God took a long time forming one fish, and he
yep.
had that fish swim through the ocean at a perfect longitude and latitude,
right.
the exact time and with one specific purpose, and it was to save Jonah's life. But
yep.
Jonah went down a one-way road.
Yep.
There wasn't no turning back, and there wasn't
yes,
no
sir.
U-turns. There wasn't no
That's
side
right.
streets.
Yes.
Sometimes God will let you go down a one-way road.
Yep.
Yes.
And you got to take what comes to you. I didn't
That's
plan
right.
on leukemia in 2016. I promise you, I didn't do
Amen.
That.
Yes,
it
sir.
Wasn't my New Year's resolution. But the 2 days before I went in the hospital, 1 day before I went to the doctor, Haven and I got in the altar on a Wednesday night after the preacher had preached, and God just broke our hearts. And we just said, God, whatever you want with our lives,
Amen.
We just want you to use us.
Amen.
We don't want to straddle the fence anymore. We don't want to be in or
Amen.
Out. We don't want to be hot one day and cold the next.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Just want you to
That's
use
good.
Us,
yes,
whatever
sir.
It may
yes.
be.
Amen.
Amen.
Not knowing that the next day my
yep.
world would turn upside down.
Amen.
But God used
yes,
that
sir.
Leukemia situation to get the gospel out more than if I had a book 20 meetings that night and started preaching every day of the week.
Yep.
I posted a couple videos on Facebook during that time, and I do a thing called a Monday motivational message, and I don't do it every Monday, but a lot of Mondays I do that. And I posted a couple videos on Facebook during the while I was in the hospital, and between the two of them, they've already got over 100 and something thousand views. And I promise you, it would have took me a long time to go church to church and preach to 100,000 people.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
And that's just what it showed up, and it's been shared. It's actually was just shared today and yesterday, and it's still going on. And then I just got to share the gospel laying in a hospital bed.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes God will put you in places you don't want to be to tell a story
that he
needs you to tell to somebody who's there.
Yes,
sir. Don't go to church.
That's right.
All right, I want to try to preach to you for
a
little while, and I could ramble there, and I might end up back there in a minute, but I want to preach to you tonight, and I have studied, and God has, I've prayed all week since I found out I was going to preach here tonight, and I'll be in the book of Jude, but I have turned the Bible pages this week, and the devil has. Anybody ever have the devil fight you?
Oh yeah, yes sir.
Praise the Lord. Half of you is the devil fights. The other half, if y'all meet with me after the service, I want to know what it is you're doing. I need some of it.
Amen.
But the devil's fought in all kind of situations. And this morning, I got up and was getting ready for church and walked out the door and closed the door. Right when I closed the door, I realized that my keys, house keys, car keys, truck keys, everything was inside locked. Behind me, and I started to try. I broke two credit cards trying to get back in my house. Good to know that doesn't work on my house. And I just happened to remember that I had a hidden key on my pickup truck, so I went out and jumped in it and barely slid in the parking lot on time. You know, I'm a typical Baptist. And so we got there, and the devil fought in every situation. God woke me up way before daylight this morning, just tremendously burdened. God ever wake you up tremendously burdened? I just began to pray and seek God's face, and yesterday was in a four-wheeler accident that could have been really, really bad. And if you know anything about me, I've wrecked everything. And I was airlifted to Mission Hospital in Asheville, North Carolina for one time for wrecking a motorcycle, and I wrecked another motorcycle when I was 17, and I flipped a four-wheeler yesterday, and I just got her off of it, and it was a mess, and the only thing I got out of it was a bloody shin. So I thank the Lord for that. The four-wheelers really tore all to pieces, and we had to haul it out of there in a truck, but it wasn't even rideable. But the devil's fought me. So I don't know what God's going to do here tonight, but every time I've seen the devil fight, I've seen God show up.
Yes,
so
amen.
I want God to show up, and I know that was a little bit longer than, and I realized that took part of my time. But I want you to look with me in the book of Jude, chapter number 1. If you'd stand with me, I want to start reading in verse number 20 and read down through the end of the chapter. And I want to try to preach to you a little bit what's on my heart, and try to help you and encourage you tonight. And I want to look in verse number 20. Jude 1 verse 20 says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ under eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Verse 25 says, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." And I'm going to pray just for a moment. Father, without the Holy Ghost showing up here tonight, we've all met in vain. I don't want anybody just to see me and pat me on the back and say I did a good job. I don't want them to look at me and say, "My, what a preacher." I want them to look at me and say, "My, what a Savior."
Amen.
God, I want you to show up here tonight, because, Lord, if we come just to sing and hear a little sermon and have a little get-together here in the house of God, we've met for the wrong reasons. But, God, I want you to be a part of what we do here for the remainder of this meeting tonight. And, God, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, the sweet power of God would show up and you would speak through me exactly what you'd have me to say. God, I pray you'd cleanse me. of all sins. And God, I pray that you'd get me where I need to be at this moment. And God, I'd say what I need to say at this moment. And Lord, we're going to give you the glory for whatever goes on here because you're worthy of it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Tonight I want to look at this, I want to look through this, and I want to look at one thought, and I want to try to portray this on making a difference.
Amen.
On when God makes a difference, on and I want to typify this and look, I want to look at this and see how we can make a difference as Christians,
mm-hmm.
and see it and check ourselves on how and whether or not we are making a difference in the
Amen.
People's lives that
Amen.
We affect on a daily basis.
Amen.
Amen.
Jude 1:22 says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." Now I look down through here, and I'll be honest with you, I wrote my outline down after I sat down in the pew when I got here. I had all kind of notes and thoughts and ideas, but I could not get an outline. I sat around the house this afternoon and last night and yesterday and throughout the week. And sometimes you just don't get one.
Amen.
I've got them before 2, 3, 4 weeks before I ever went and preached. Man, those are easy. I like those, man. You just walk in the door so excited knowing what you're going to preach. And tonight I walked in the church with a lump in my throat wondering what I was going to preach. I just had this thought. But I believe this would be what the Lord has for us tonight. I've never preached this, but I hope that God will help us and be a blessing, and I'd be a blessing to you tonight.
Amen.
Now, how many times has something or someone made a difference in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know we could go down the list, and there's people that have affected our lives.
Right.
You know, it could be your mom. It could be your dad. It could be a grandmother, a grandfather. Mm-hmm. It could be a son or daughter, somebody who's made a difference in your life. But there's things that can make a difference in your life. You know, you could look at things, say a painting made a difference in the way you think about things, or it could be a job that has made a difference in your life or made a difference in your financial situation. It could be money. There's so many preachers running down the road, they preach against money, but they want a good love offering when they get done preaching. And
right.
I'm not against money. The love of money is the root of
That's
all
right.
evil. But
yes,
praise
sir.
God, I believe you ought to pay the man of God, and you ought to pay him well
Amen.
What you can do. And I believe that that's just right, and I believe
that's
the man
right.
of God is worthy of double honor. That's
Amen.
What the Bible teaches. There's a lot of things. It could have been a television program that changed your view on something. It changed your idea, and it made a difference in your life
mm-hmm.
in some way, shape, or form. But the thing is, the most important thing that will ever make a difference in your life is God the Holy Ghost.
That's right. That's right.
You ever get God the Holy Ghost in your heart and in your life, it'll make the greatest difference of anything that's ever
right.
happened
yes,
to you.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
God will make a difference in
yes,
your life.
Will.
But you see, some people don't have the experience of God making a difference in their life.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And it's been mentioned already tonight, and my heart is heavy with the thought of a 12-year-old boy getting murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. With the thought of someone taking their life just this very day.
Yeah.
Do you realize there is a family that is in turmoil? Their
That's
world
right.
is turned yeah. upside down.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
1997, 2 years before I even got saved, my best friend in the world, I was just young, I was 11 years old, and he was 12, about to turn 13, and he was the youngest in his family, and godly family. His mother taught my younger sister, in a Christian kindergarten class. Dad was a deacon in a church. I mean, everything's going well, running a good business, painting business, and they came home one Wednesday night from church, and she went in the house and put a pistol in her mouth and blowed her brains out.
Oh, my.
There is some times in your life that things will turn upside down.
That's right.
There's good experiences, and there's bad experiences.
That's right.
There's things that will make a difference in your life. But what are you going to do when bad things make a difference in your life?
That's right.
What are you going to do when the phone rings and they tell you that someone's passed away that's near and dear to you?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do when the doctor sits at the foot of the bed and tells you it's leukemia?
Yeah.
What are you going to do when the doctor tells you you've got just so long to live?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do when it's cancer? What are you going to do when it's inoperable?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do when there's no money left to pay the bills?
Yep.
What are you going to do when the
That's
car's
right.
broke down and you don't even have a phone to call the mechanic?
Yep.
I know everybody's got a cell phone nowadays, and you get in touch with whoever, whenever, and however. Except till you get up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
and you and whoever you're with and Jesus is the only people you're going to talk to. It's just how it is. I grew up and, man, we just left a cell phone in the truck. And then they started putting these fancy cameras on them, and you don't want to miss an opportunity to have a camera. You know, picture it didn't happen, right? I remember when I was growing up, you know, there wasn't cell phones. There wasn't anything. If any news came, it was on the answer machine when you got home.
Amen.
You know, and now we're in an immediate world. Cell phone takes a tenth of a second longer than it's supposed to load Facebook, we're flipping our lid. That's just the reality of where we're at in America. But you know, there's a lot of things that take place in our life.
Right.
There's a lot of things that'll cause you to think about things in a different light.
Yep. Yeah.
Amen. That's right. There's a lot of things that'll cause you to think about things in a different way.
That's right.
But you never know what kind of impact you're having on someone's life, on someone's day,
That's it.
You don't know. You don't have any idea.
Yep.
I'm reminded of a good friend of mine, David Browder. The Browder family, they sing, and they had 3 number one hits in Southern Gospel music last year. He called me one night. He only calls me about 2 in the morning just to see if I'm up. He drives their bus up and down the road. He'll call me 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, Isaac, you up? Well, I am now.
Yeah.
And we'll talk, and he talks till I fall asleep, and he'll say, Isaac, you awake? Well, I am now. Tell him 2 or 3 times. He called me. We was talking one night, and I'm talking about making a difference.
Right.
God makes a difference
right.
in your life.
Amen.
And when you can make a difference in someone's life. And David, he said, Isaac, I was eating at Cracker Barrel the other day. And he said, I was sitting there, there's one other fellow with me. And he said, we had a waitress, and she was just absolutely awful. She was going out of her way to be rude. He said she brought her glasses and slammed them down on the table, never refilled them one time. He said she finally brought our food, and it was cold, and she set it down on the table, and she was mad about it, and she was huffing and puffing, and she was upset. He said you could just tell that this girl was not happy and was not glad to be there.
Yep.
He said, so we got done with our meal, and she brought our check. I got up from the table, and I left her a $20 tip. And I thought to myself, Lord, bless your heart, brother. Hallelujah. I want to be your waiter one day. And you think in your mind, why in the world would you leave a $20 tip for 2 people on a meal that didn't even cost $20 to a waitress who was absolutely horrible to you? He went up to the Cracker Barrel counter, like you do, to go pay for his meal. And here come this little girl around the end and come and met him while he's standing there in line. And she said to him, sir, you must have left this on the table. She said, I know you didn't mean to leave me a $20 tip. I was horrible to you. I was awful to you.
Wow.
And he said, ma'am, you got to understand something. I realize people have bad days. And I just want you to know I'm a Christian. And whatever it is you're going through, Jesus loves you.
Amen.
And tears begin to well up in her eyes and run down the sides of her face.
Amen.
And he looked at her and realized that she was upset and was carrying a burden. And she said, I know you don't know me. She said, but you don't know how much this means to me. He said, you see, my daughter, I'm a single mom. And my daughter's at my mama's house right now running a fever of 103. And I had to pull a double shift today.
Amen.
Just to make enough money so I could go buy her medicine to take home tonight.
Wow.
You see, you never know when you're affecting somebody's
life.
That's right.
Amen. You never know when you're making a difference in somebody's life.
Yes, sir.
Hey, David Browder could have left her nothing, could have wrote her a bad note on the end of of the receipt that he left on the table. And so many people do. But you know, he just got to share with her the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, whatever her name was, he said, you know that Jesus loves you the same amount he loves me.
Amen.
And he cares about you the same amount that he cares about me. And if you've never been born again and washed in the blood, Jesus will save you to be the best friend you've ever had. And he will never leave you and never forsake you.
Amen.
Amen.
You might just get the opportunity next time. And ever since then, if I have a bad waitress or a bad waiter, it makes me irritated, especially when I'm thirsty and my tea glass has been empty for 10 minutes.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
sometimes you never know. And him telling me that story changed my outlook on a waiter or waitress.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just that little thing impacted her. And I promise you, that girl never forgot it.
That's right.
I promise you that she thought about that before she pillowed her head that night.
Yep.
There's a lot of things that'll make a difference. But I want to see this. Every Christian has an opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life. God, that makes a difference. That's what I want to look at tonight. Now I want to look down in verse number 24. Look, verse number 22 said, "And of some having compassion, making a difference." Now I tried to think about the most compassionate person that I know, and it's probably my grandmother. But then I got to trying to think in a step farther that, I mean, even though I've never heard my grandmother say a bad thing about anyone, and that is the truth, never heard her say a bad thing. But I got to thinking about who would be the most compassionate. The obvious, the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I couldn't think of anybody more compassionate than a man send his darling son from the portals of glory, living in a perfect environment to a sin-filled earth to die for people that hated him.
Amen.
Yep, that's right.
And I got to thinking about this. Who do I know that would be the most compassionate person? Why, it would be the Lord Jesus.
Yep.
Verse number 24. I want you to look at it with me. It says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." I see a God that makes a difference as a protector.
Sir. Amen.
A God that makes a difference as a protector. Now, I'm glad to know that there is a time and there is a place that God can protect you and that God will protect you. But God will also allow things to happen in your life so that he can send you through a valley so that he can prove to you that he's still God.
Amen.
Now, you say, "Well, I don't believe that God would allow bad things to happen to good people." Well, then you'd have to take the book of Job out of the Bible.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible said that Job was a perfect man.
Yes,
one that feared God and eschewed evil. That means that he feared God and he hated sin. He hated wrong.
Yes.
And Job, now I'm talking about Job being the richest man in the world now.
Right.
That Job was a very wealthy man. God had blessed him with wealth. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because God allows it. But why would God, who's so loving and caring, allow something bad to happen to a good person? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Because Job, when Job went through all of those problems and all of those heartaches, when he lost everything he had, and he was sitting in a pile of ashes, scraping boils on his body. And the devil had tore everything he had apart.
Yep.
Why?
Right.
Because Satan had went to God. And God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?"
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to know that Job's a long, long book. There's a lot of chapters in Job. And you get to reading it, sometimes it kind of just, you don't even know what you're reading. There's so much about that goes on. But I think it's over about chapter 42 in Job. I got to looking one day, Job took care of all the widows. The widows didn't have a need for anything. Job used his wealth to take care of all the widows. If there was a widow, Job housed them. Job fed them, made sure they were taken care of. And I got to thinking, why would God take everything away from Job and him doing such good in the community? He's a fine fella. He's an upstanding gentleman. He's doing well. No doubt he employed lots of people to work all of those livestock. But why would God, not only did he allow it, he suggested that Satan would tear him apart. He suggested,
he said,
"Hast thou considered my servant Job?"
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking about that. Why would God suggest that Satan tear up everything in Job's life? You get to looking after Job and, you know, he's taking care of the widows. The Bible commands us to take care of the widows and orphans.
Amen.
Job's taking care of the widows. Job's taking and employing all these people, and then it's all gone. Job's covering bulls. He's sitting in a pile of ashes.
Yes.
And Satan's trying to get him to curse God.
Mm-hmm.
Just curse God. Just curse God.
Mm-hmm.
And Job rises up out of those ashes he's sitting in and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Amen.
Now, I don't know if I got what it takes to lose that much and still be happy towards the Lord about it. Now, Job, he got real upset and he was unhappy about a lot of things. But I'm glad to know, friend, that the book doesn't end with Job just losing it all.
That's right.
Because Job stood faithful and Job was able to stand because he feared God and because he eschewed evil. He turned away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Because Job followed God.
Mm-hmm.
Job got blessed with double everything he
That's
had.
Right. That's right.
So however many widows and orphans and the sick and those that he employed, he was able to do with his wealth. He was able to take care of twice that many after it was over.
Amen.
All because he loved God. But see, God don't always allow just you. It's not just you. Boy, we want to walk around and thumb our suspenders and look down our nose when everything's going great and everything's happy in our life. Praise God, we've got money in the bank. We're driving a nice car. The bills are paid for. We're living in a nice home and we're wearing nice clothes. I don't know about a pink jacket, but we're wearing nice clothes.
Amen.
Amen.
And then all of a sudden, you know, something horrible just tears our life apart.
Yep.
Car accident. Cancer. Everybody, you turn around, everybody's got cancer nowadays.
Uh-huh.
My mom's got cancer. I lost my grandmother to cancer, my great-grandmother to cancer, my grandfather to cancer. I've had cancer. Hey, it's everywhere around us.
That's right.
And people are going through hard times. It's not something that you just want to go to. Every time the doctor calls, you're wondering if it's good news or not.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bone marrow biopsy this past Wednesday. I'm still waiting to hear whether or not the chemo's continued to work and that my leukemia is still in remission. And of course, my phone rings daily. Have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? No, I haven't heard. But you know, when the phone rings, I don't know what they're going to say.
Amen.
And see, that's in my mind every day. You're going to go through things that are going to be hard in your life, but I'm glad we've got a protector.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad we've got a protector. The Bible said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how heavy the load may get, you might get to where you're down on the ground crawling on your knees.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a protector.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Is able to keep you from falling no matter how deep the valley is, no matter how heavy the load may be. There's a protector that is able to take care of
Amen.
You. I thank
Amen.
The Lord for the protector.
Amen.
Not only a God that makes a difference as a protector, but a God that makes a difference as a presenter.
Mm-hmm.
Look what he said here in the middle part of verse number 24. It said, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And I know this is an easy alliterated outline. Two of the P's are already in here. It says, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to know that 1 Timothy 4:12 in the Bible said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. You see, as a presenter, sometimes God started dealing with me about preaching before I was ever even saved. You can believe that if you want to or not. That don't matter to me. But I knew I'd be a preacher before I ever got saved. Just in me. I was born with it. Now, it ain't like some of these homophobes up in here talking about how they was born with it. Hey, when the baby's born, does the doctor say, I don't know if it's a boy or a girl or not, we're going to have to wait on it to grow up and decide what it wants to be? No. It's either born a boy or it's born a girl.
Amen.
That's real simple.
That's right.
That's just plain talk from North Carolina.
Amen.
And if that bothers you, friend, you got bigger problems than that story.
Amen.
I'm glad to know that Jesus can take care of us as a protector, but not only a protector, as the presenter.
Amen.
He presents us. I'm glad I've got Jesus presenting me. Hey,
Amen.
I've been presented some good awards. I got presented one time I was a VP of sales at a portable building company. I thought I was going to go make a lot of money and get rich and do all that stuff, and then I'd serve God after I got a lot of money so it wouldn't, you know, have to take church's money and all that mess, you know. Hey, that didn't work out real good. I got presented I don't even remember what it was, some super sales manager or something or another, for selling $1.2 million worth of portable buildings in a year. Well, that was a great reward, and I was excited to get presented that. Didn't know I was going to get presented that. But Now, I didn't make $1.2 million. That was gross sales. I just got a tiny single-digit percentage of that. But I'm glad to know that I've got a Lord that presents me.
Amen.
He's a presenter. He said he is able. Look here. It said he is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence
of
his glory.
Yep.
Man, if I wanted anybody to present me. Now, brother, he presented. Brother Josh presented me when he called me up.
Amen.
We got Brother Isaac coming to preach for us tonight. You know, and I appreciate that. That was real nice.
Amen.
But you know, there's nobody going to present you like the Lord Jesus will present
you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad to know that one day when it comes time to be presented, hey, I've got the ultimate presenter.
Amen.
And he's going to present me blameless.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm just glad to know, friend, that when it comes time, when we cross Jordan, I mean, y'all sang so many good songs. I didn't know which sermon to preach before. Y'all was just like, well, I preach one along that line. And then y'all sing another song, and I preach one along that line. Of course, you know, you walk in the back door, and you still don't know what you're going to preach. And some of you, if you other preachers in here, y'all probably, I know one preacher that literally had every sermon planned out for 52 Sundays in a whole year. Praise the Lord. He is living in another realm closer to Jesus than I am because I didn't know when I walked in. But I'm glad to know that no matter where I go in life, no matter what I do, that God's grace is sufficient to carry me through, to be there for me, to love me, to pick me up when I'm down, to put me down when I think I'm too high.
Yep, that's right.
He's going to present you blameless.
Amen.
He's going to present you faultless.
Amen.
We're going to be presented. You know why? Because of the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yes, sir.
I believe it was yesterday. We got carnal and went up to the rod running pigeon forward. Y'all pray for us. I'm sorry. There's just something that rises up in me when a man will rev a big block engine up and he'll dump a clutch on a Muncie 4-speed and shift it down to second gear and leave a set of black marks for about 100 yards long. I mean, I think it's the Holy Ghost I feel in there. I believe there's going to be 69 Chevelles on the streets of glory. Now, you can get, that's just Tinsley theology. I don't have any Bible for that, but it just I believe they're going to be there. And we were up there yesterday. My sister works at a hotel up there. She drives over sometimes on the weekends, works, and she lives in North Carolina. She drives. So we stopped by to see her. And a fellow walked in, and he was a big Corvette buff. And, of course, who don't like a Corvette, amen? But he walked in, and he got to telling me this and telling me that. And then he told me that he'd owned 130 Corvettes throughout his life. And then I thought, well, praise God, I need to get to know this fellow. Maybe he'd give me one. And so we got to talking, and then I told him, and Haven was with me, and he found out how we met. I told him that I went and preached at her church years ago, and that's how we met. And then he got to talking about the Lord and got talking about Bible. And then he got off on being baptized is the only way you're going to get into heaven. Well, I said, well, what about the thief on the cross? And of course, he had an answer for everything, but except for when I started quoting him Bible for it, he always went off somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And friend, listen. And brother, I know the crowd you run around with enough to know that you believe the same way. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. There's nothing about getting hosed down, sprinkled, dipped, whatever you want. Hey, if water saved them, I'd go buy a fire truck tonight, and I'd be at the busiest intersection in Knoxville hosing them down, friend. We'd send them all to heaven if that was the way it worked. But that's not how it works.
That's right.
It's just a free gift that God's never forced upon anyone.
That's right.
It has to be accepted. For
yes,
by
sir.
Grace are you saved through faith.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now this fella, he was off, and he nice guy, but hey, friend, being baptized don't get you into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an outward expression of an inward experience, and that's what it is. It's and of course, you know, they've got an excuse for it all and a reason for it all and different denominations. And he tried to get me off on why we didn't need to be Baptists and why we didn't need to have denominations. And hey, John was a Baptist.
Amen.
Hallelujah. First Baptist I know of.
Amen.
He didn't say John the Pentecostal or John the Catholic or John the Lutheran or John the Seventh Day Disadvantage. He just said John the Baptist.
Amen.
I'm a Baptist by conviction, amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's your free rabbit. All right. Number three, I say it, I'll be closed. A God that makes a difference, not only as a protector and as a presenter, but I see here a God that makes a difference in His presence.
Mm.
Now I can walk
That's
up
right.
in my daddy's house, and I'll be in my daddy's presence.
Mm-hmm.
I walk up, and I don't knock on the door. I got a key on my key ring. I just walk in. It's my mom and daddy's house. I just walk in, and I'm in my daddy's presence. And we can catch up, we can talk about church, we can talk about Bible, we can talk about hunting and fishing, and we can talk about cattle and farming and feeding calves or whatever it is. But there's being in the presence of my daddy, but there's being in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And if you've ever got in the presence of the Lord, friend, there is nothing like being in the presence of the
sir.
Lord.
Amen.
Hey,
yes, sir.
When the Holy Ghost gets down and moves inside of you, and I'm not talking about a separate work of grace, I'm just talking about when the Holy Ghost shows up.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them climb the walls. I thought they was going to break the pews up and throw them out the window in the churchyard. But I'm telling you, I've seen God. Now, sometimes the Holy Ghost don't come in and make everybody shout and praise
That's
the
right.
Lord. I've seen the Holy Ghost move so much, I wanted to crawl under the carpet.
Yep.
Seemed like it was getting foggy in the building.
Yep. Yep.
And I like it like that. I
yes,
like
sir.
It when the Holy Ghost shows up. You know why? Because that means
Amen.
That some of the people of God have got their hearts and their
Amen.
Minds in tune with the number one
right.
thing in
yes,
life,
sir.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
You get your heart and your life in tune with Him, friend, you never know what's liable to happen. But
yep.
I promise you whatever happened will be right and it'll be in order. Amen.
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 I'm glad to know that I've got a protector and a presenter. But I'm glad to know that He's a God that makes a difference when I'm
yes,
in His presence.
Sir. Yes, He does.
He's a God
yes,
that
sir.
Makes a difference when I'm in His presence.
Yes,
he
sir.
Said, present ye faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad He put those last three words in that
Amen.
Verse. With exceeding joy.
Yep, that's right. Yes, sir.
Hey, I've took a few people a few places, and I've been taken a few places that I didn't really want to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have any kids, but I know some people that's got kids, and I was a kid once, so I can talk about kids a little bit. When you got to drag kids to ball games and to t-ball and to football and to travel ball, and you're getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and getting home at 3 o'clock in the morning, hey, that gets pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
That'll wear on you after a while. The thing is, in America, we've taken sports and made it a god. It's the biggest god in America is sports. Hey, they're in Bristol today. There'll be 90,000 of rednecks, drunk rednecks up there watching cars go around and around and around in a circle. And they'll hoop and holler and pass out and fall over. And when their guy crosses the finish line first, they're going to hoop and holler and cut cartwheels and didos, and they're going to pass out drunk, and they're going to wake up tomorrow with a headache and a hangover, and they're going to be hurting. And look, I ain't into all that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be at the house of God today.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I don't have nothing against racing.
Amen.
I don't have a thing against racing. I've done it a time or two even. But I don't want to lay out of church and put it before God.
Amen.
I don't want to put sports before God. I like watching a good football
Amen.
Game. I like going to football games and watching them.
Amen.
Hallelujah for a good fun.
Amen.
But we've taken things like that and made it an idol. We've created it
That's right.
to where all
Amen.
We do is just worship sports, man. ESPN. That
mm-hmm.
wasn't good enough. We got ESPN2. We got ESPN. I don't know where they're going to stop it. You turn it on, Sports Center. They make barbershops centered around sports now. You can get a good haircut there if you don't do chemo. But you do chemo and you get free haircuts. You just buzz it when it fuzz grows. But I was thinking about a God that makes a difference when we're in His presence.
Amen.
Yes. You can be in the presence of a ball game, and man, you can feel some emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, when your buddy, he takes that pigskin, and he does that triple dido, and he spins around that linebacker, and he runs around that fullback, elbows him in the chest, and he runs into the checkerboard, and everybody's just so glad to be a Vol.
Amen.
They will lose their mind in excitement.
Amen.
And you're in the presence of excitement.
Yep.
And you're in presence of enthusiasm.
Amen.
Well, there's nothing like getting in the presence of Him.
Amen.
There's nothing like getting in the presence of God.
Amen.
Because He will make a difference.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I'll give you this illustration and I'll be closed. I was reminded, there was a boy one day, and he was walking down the beach. And you might and he was walking down the beach, and there was thousands of starfish on this beach. Humongous storm had just come in. You know how they are at the beach. They'll just come in and they're gone. Well, when it came in, it washed starfish up on the beach by the thousands. And there's this little boy. He's just walking down the beach, throwing starfish back in the ocean. Throwing starfish back in the ocean. They're crawling around everywhere, and he's just grabbing them and throwing them back in the ocean. There's an old man down at the end of the beach, seeing what he was doing, and he's just walking down through there and throwing starfish back in the ocean. By the thousands. I'm talking about a God that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm talking about making a difference.
Yes,
I'm talking
sir.
About when you make a difference
yes,
in somebody's
sir.
Life. There's starfish, one after another. And there's this old man seeing what he's doing. This old man began to walk down there, this old boy, about 10, 12 years old. This boy's throwing starfish back in the ocean. Throwing starfish. Well, this old man finally gets up to this boy where he's down there throwing starfish. That old boy never even looked up at him. And he said, "How you doing, mister?" He said, "I'm doing all right." He said, "But I got to ask you, boy." He said, "What are you doing throwing the starfish back in the ocean?" He said, "There's thousands of starfish out here." He said, "You're not doing any good." He's just throwing starfish. He said, "You hear me, boy? You're not doing any good." And that old boy, he thought for just a minute as he's throwing starfish back in the ocean. And he just looked up at that old man. And he bent down and he picked up a starfish and he threw it back in the ocean. He said, "It made a difference to that one."
Amen.
Amen.
Hey friend, I'm glad that Jesus made a difference in me. If it was just one at a time out of the thousands of thousands, I'm glad that to know that God made a difference in my life. And you don't know what you're going to do day after day. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know. You know you're one phone call away from disaster, right?
Amen.
But you don't know what kind of life you're living and who's watching you and what eyes you're on. And you say, "Well, I can't go out here and preach to thousands of people. Hey, I can't go out here and do this, and I can't go do that, and I can't go talk to all these multiplied millions at a time. I can't even teach a Sunday school class." You may not.
Amen.
But you can throw starfish in the ocean
Amen.
One at a
Amen.
Time.
Amen.
Amen.
And you can make a difference to one.
That's good. Yes,
Amen.
Sir.
There was a man one day. There was a preacher preaching. Preacher preached. And he said, "You know, if we just had one person that would totally sell out to God." And I mean, this church was packed, 2,000 or 3,000 people. Big old high platform, pulpit, way up off of the floor. He said, "If we just had one person who would say, 'Hey, I'm going to sell out to God. I want to make a difference. I want to be important in the kingdom of God.'"
Amen.
It don't matter what people think about me down here. It don't matter what I do down here. It don't matter how much money I make or if I drive a new Mercedes every year. If we just had somebody that would say, "Hey, I want to be the one that makes a difference."
Amen.
It would be untelling what they could do for God.
Right.
And there was a young boy walked down to the front. And he looked up at that preacher and he said, "Preacher, I'll be that man." And that preacher looked at him, you know, thinking he was young. But that boy's name that walked up to that pulpit and looked up to that preacher and told him that he'd be that one. His name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He's known as the Prince of Preachers.
Amen.
We still read after him today, decades later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about making a difference.
Amen.
Some having compassion, making a difference.
Amen.
All you got to do, just live a life for Jesus. Let Him be your protector and your provider. And then He'll be your presenter. He'll present you faultless, blameless, with exceeding joy.
Amen.
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 Preacher, I'm done. Thank you.